with us, and I just pray that you will enjoy the presence of God and be at peace at home. This is the church of God, and where the church of God, as we've looked last week, there must be the peace among brothers and sisters and among God, ourselves with God. So thank you for being here, and I just pray that you will be blessed and encouraged. I do encourage every one of you to pray for the family members that are on vacation. Some of them are on vacation, and some of them are out, and some of them are leaving this week. As we know, Pastor Allen and Pastor Catherine are going to Uganda for 3 months. Continue to pray for them, and that the Lord would just bless them and use them in a tremendous way. And also, Brother Joseph and Flora be going to Trinidad. I thought they were going to Italy, but they were going to Trinidad. But we just continue to pray for them, and even for the ones who have went and are planning to go again. And if you're planning to go again, just let me know, because I want to know the secret how to go on vacation every couple of weeks. So may the Lord be with you and bless you and be a blessing wherever you go. And if you don't go, and if you're not going on vacation, I do encourage you to come on out on a weekly basis as we have our services week after week. As I give permission week after week, this is the moment right now. You can take out your phones and you can text your friend, you can text a family member, or tweet and say you're in the house of God and you're a new home. A New Hope Christian Assembly. Encourage them that if they're not partaking, they're not going to any church, if they're just sitting down home or lying down on a sofa, just call them and give them a little, don't call them that now, but just text them and tell them you're missing something. Oh, that was a text. I heard it like a text. It's pretty good. I heard a bing. Maybe that bell. God is telling me to shut up and continue. So, but just I want to encourage you to do so. Invite a friend. 10 numbers. Give them a phone call during this week and tell them, come to the house of God. We're having been blessed. We get into worship. We worship the Lord together. Programs. We hear the word of God. And we just come here and being filled by the presence of God. Amen? So I do encourage you to do that. As you know and I know, we spoke about it last week. If you weren't here last week, we started a series on the church. And we looked at God's vision for the church, the universal church, how all the churches, and we spoke about the peace of God must be among us. It spoke about about that we need to be led by the Spirit of God, and we need to walk in the fear of the Lord. Those are things that we need to do as a church. And when we do those things, the scriptures in Acts, we looked at it, that they add numbers to the church. So you and I know that to add numbers to the kingdom of God, there's things that you and I must do. We must live in peace with God. We must live with peace with people. And we must be a church of peace, walking in the fear and walking in the Spirit of the Lord. And today, in edifying ourselves through encouraging one another and through prayer and through Bible reading and through evangelism and through discipleship and through missions. Those are five fundamentals that we need to look at. And I was looking at something when I just went over the past week's service and sermon. See, we looked at the five things: Bible, reading, evangelism, missions, and discipleship. Those are the pillars of the fundamental pillars of the church. If we don't have one of those five, it's going to fail. It must link to one another to allow this church to grow, to allow us to grow spiritually, and to allow us to grow numerically. Now, it's the same thing if we have four pillars in a home and you're building a home. If the pillars don't have the beams to go across, what's going to happen to the house? It's going to crumble. So there must be the pillars and there must be the beam to hold on to support. And it's the same thing in the house of God. We have the pillars. What we must do is we must live in unity with those pillars. We must be with those pillars. We must link ourselves with the pillars to have a solid foundation. And that's where our house is going to be built. We need to be built a solid foundation. So as I said last week, and I will say it again, please hear my heartbeat. Please hear where I'm trying to lead the church. And I want you to be sensitive. I'm not here to be better than anybody else. I'm here with you, together with New Hope Christian Assembly, to bring this church to another level. To another level. It is time for us to take another step, another level, to impact this community. And that is my prayer this morning. And I just pray that is your prayer this morning, that we want to bring this church to another level. So we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 10 today. There's not one specific verse we're going to look at, but you can turn your Bibles to Acts 10, and I will touch and look at some verses in there. We're going to be looking at the early church. So, you know, and I want to thank the church for your kindness, for your love, for your financial support, for your smiles, for your patience towards us. I thank you. I really do. Thank you very, very much. You made me feel, you make us feel at home. Though we're far away, but you make us feel at home. This is our home now. And I really, really thank you from the bottom of my heart. Every church is unique. And every church, every city is unique. And every church is unique. And I had preached in a lot of churches, and every church has a different vibe. They do things differently. The feelings are different. The atmosphere is different. The vibe is different. And I'm still trying to learn New Hope Christian Assembly. And as the time passes, I will certainly know what is the vibe of this church. What is the uniqueness of this church? But there's something about this church that another church does not have. Because every church is unique. And when we know what is our uniqueness, when you know what is our DNA, that's when you and I will explode into the skin, into this world, to allow our uniqueness, to who we are, and as God has made us as a family of God. Once we know that and we put it into practice, this community will explode. This community not would explode with bombs, but it would explode with the presence of God, with the power of God. And that's what I'm searching for. That's what I'm longing for. And that is New Hope Christian Assembly's prayer, to allow this community to explode and to experience the presence of God. I was looking at a video this morning, and it just disturbed me. As we look at this, as the days are passing, as the years are getting closer, the days are getting closer to the Lord, there are people in this world are possessed. And I've seen this video of people going outrage in the middle of the roads and running in through windows and running into walls and doing other moves like only a demon can do. And Satan can do those things. But church, it is time for us to rise up and go out and cast out demons in the lives of people who are suffering, who are tormented, who are down and destroyed. Allow them to experience the love of God. We find out what is our DNA. We're going to go out and we're going to go preach the gospel. And we're going to allow people to experience that love that you and I experience today. The love of Jesus Christ in our lives. New Hope, we're looking at today. It's a pretty difficult, little subject or topic that I want to look at. It is about the church. But I want to look at God's vision for this church. I'm reading from the website of New Hope Christian Assembly. New Hope Christian Assembly is registered a nonprofit religious assembly affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Pastor Sion and his wife, Deborah, pioneered this congregation in June 1st, 1999 with 15 individuals. New Hope Christian Assembly has gone through its shares of growing pains. We experienced 5 different relocations in 10 years. In spite of these unsettling disruptive moves, our church community remains steadfast in numerically and in spiritual growth. And with the Lord's help, on December 24, 2008, we purchased our present facility. Do we have the pictures? Look at it. Just look at the slide for a second. Go on. Could you go to the next slide, please? First location, baptism. Second location, just go on. Praise God. I just wanted to show you just some pictures, some slides, because I do believe that the church was birthed with 15 individuals. There was lots of walking by faith. Brothers and sisters had to take steps of faith with boldness. And that's where it was birthed. Years ago, it was came out from Pastor Sian and his wife, Bert, and then the church is it today, as it is today, we are here in this location. But during those times, there were steps of faith and boldness. There had to be some change. If they followed traditions and they had followed their mindset, I do things my own way, the church would not be where it's at today. So they had to make steps of faith and trusting in the Lord to allow this church to be here today, a place of worship for you and I. If there's going to be growth in the church, then there's going to be change in walking by faith. If you and I want to change the way we do things, if you want to improve things in our life, there must be change in our life to succeed. Now, let me give you an illustration. You can stop that because everybody's going to listen to look at the pictures, not at me, and listen to the Word of God. But when we got married, my wife and I, there was one thing that I used to do when I was preaching. I used to take a pen and I used to flick like this when I'm preaching. And it was like a bad habit. It didn't make sense when I'm preaching. I'm not a teacher, like, you know. But I was just going there, and it was disturbing. So my wife came up to me at the end of the service, thank God for wives, and said, don't flick that pen anymore. Because you're not a professor, you're a preacher. But if I did not accept that change, I wouldn't have never learned. So there must be things in our lives that need to be changed to allow to lead to success. There needs to be change. If you want growth in the church, there must be things that must change. Put away traditions at times. Oh, it's hard for me to preach about this because some people will love their... I love the old things. We did it this way. I don't want to move this way. But God is not about traditions. God finds and He wants ways to allow people to experience the presence of God. And He will find anything. But at times, as we as human beings want to close our hearts and our ears, I did it this way and I'm not moving. I want to ask you something. Do you know that Pastor Sion's wife, Deborah, and Brother Fred and Pat Wilton have their homes attached to this home? To this church. That's steps of faith. They came out of a comfort zone and says, I trust you, Lord, and I'm placing my homes to purchase this place, to have a place of worship. And now it is our duty, my friends, my church, the church that I'm ministering, it is our duty to remove those names from our mortgages. Now it is our time to step out of faith with boldness and trust in the and trust in the future and trust in ahead and look and expect in great things what God is going to do. If God has done in the past, God will do it in the future. Acts 10. The new church faced a dilemma. Is one that could have divided the church of Acts 10. The new church was accepting people that weren't Jews. And Acts 10 tells us a story of a man called Cornelius, an Italian man. I'm proud to say that. A devout man and a man that feared God with his household. A generous man that had done many deeds for the Jewish people. Even though he wasn't a Jew himself, he had a great reputation with the Jews. And Cornelius received a vision from which is where an angel of God tells him that his prayers have been heard and he understands that he has chosen for a higher alternative. The angel then instructs Cornelius to send men to the household of Joppa where they found Simon Peter, who was residing with a tanner and by the name of Simon. In Acts 2, and as we look at Acts 10, verse 2, Cornelius was a man that, in verse 2, we look at it. Cornelius was a man that feared God before he met Peter. He was a man that gave alms and did good things. He was a man that prayed to God. And in verse 34 and 35, he was a righteous man. And lastly, in verse 35, Cornelius was accepted by God. Cornelius, at that time, he was a Christian. He has already accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And now, what did Cornelius want from Peter? Cornelius needed to know what to do for peace, what to do with assurance, and to please God. And you're going to find that in Acts 10, verse 33, if you want to bring it up there. It says, "So I sent you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God. Here it is the key. Listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." So Cornelius wanted to hear from God. He was a Christian now. Try to understand me. Don't just shut your ears now and say, "Where am I going?" I'm trying to bring you and to lead you something. Through Peter's traditions and reputation and the way he was repeating his prayers, God has spoken to him to move from there and to go to Cornelius. It was for a reason and a purpose. He had to put away his traditions. He had to put away that aside for a moment because God has spoken to him through an angel and through the Spirit of God and told him, go to Cornelius. He needs to know about Jesus. And if you know the scriptures pretty well, and you know and read in chapter 10 of Acts, you will see he brought his friends and his household together to hear about Jesus. Even though he was a Christian, but he needed to know more of the peace of God, more of the assurance of God upon his life. It was Cornelius wanted to listen to everything that the Lord had to say. It is like a child listening to the father, attentive. Cornelius wanted to hear more from God. There are people in this world want to hear more from God, want to experience more from God. And at times the church walks on traditions. And when you walk on traditions, you don't get out of that comfort zone and to do what we are called to do is to preach the gospel to the ones who need to know who Jesus Christ is. Let's put aside traditions for a moment. Let's put aside, we did things this way. Put aside that for a moment and just depend on the Holy Spirit and focus on the Holy Spirit, and He will lead us to another level and another level that would impact this community. Oh, Lord, help us. Please try to hear my heart this morning. Try to hear the heartbeat of God this morning. He's trying to tell us. He's trying to tell me to get out of that comfort zone. He's trying to tell me, you've done that in the past. It doesn't work. Do it this way. The only thing that you and I must not change is the Word of God. The Word of God is the one who transforms, not us. So our text this morning, I'm pulling a sweat here. Acts 10, verse 9 to 16. Cornelius, now he has this vision. Look at it, this chapter, we see another vision from Peter. Acts 10, verse 9 to 16. Can we all read it together, please? About noon, the following day, as they were on their journey approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. Now we look at this, we see that it's talking about animals. He says, go and eat. And if we know the story, Peter, you know, the angel spoke to him three times. In reality, saying about the circumcised and uncircumcised, the Jews and the non-Jews, that God made pure, he does not show any favoritism. He did not show anything of that kind. He didn't say because he's a Jew, he's not a Jew. What God is trying to say is to unite the people. And everyone must experience the presence of God and the love of God. But Peter was a man who prayed three times a day. It was morning, noon, and evening. Prayer three times a day was not commanded in the scriptures, but Peter followed the examples in the past men of God, like for Daniel. Then he says, the scripture says he got hungry and Peter fell into a daze in which God gave him a vision of the sheep coming down on earth with all the kinds of animals. And then the Lord commanded Peter, God commanded Peter to eat these animals, and Peter responded right away, he said, surely not, Lord. At times God speaks to us in a different way, in a mysterious way, and we say, no, Lord, we can't do this, we've done it in the past. In the same format as here, Peter says, no, surely not, Lord. Peter knew from the law that he should not eat the unclean animals. And you look in Leviticus chapter 11. Peter's vision seemed to be encouraged to go against his teachings, his customs, to go against his heart, to go against his personal desire. In order Peter had to do this, he had to walk by faith. His vision encouraged him to go against the laws that came from the beginning, from Moses and also his traditions. So he says, I can't, it's not possible to do this. I'm following the law. I'm following this tradition. This is what I do. This is what I'm going to do. See, once the pastor said, the way we always done things is usually more powerful and harder to change than the things that God tells us to do. Peter was called to a new level of faith to go against the flow. New Hope had to face challenges, ups and downs before it arrived here today. There were men and women of faith with perseverance and trusted in the Lord and dependent on the Holy Spirit. And that's why we are here today. There had to be that change. And Peter had to take bold steps of faith. New Hope, you and I as a church will take steps bold of faith. There were four different locations before it came here on the fifth one. But I'm here, I'm not telling you that I'm going to bring you to another step and purchase another building. Not at this moment. Is that my prayer? Of course it is. But not at this moment. We've got to work with ourselves first and allow this church to grow. Spiritually, numerically, but I'm not going to go for a building now. See the word now. I don't know what's God's plan for this church. However, I can tell you one thing, I am excited. And God is using the scriptures to excite me and to speak to me. God is using individuals in the church to speak to me and to encourage me, to lift me, and to say, do not give up, but persevere in the will of God. What I like to see is this church to take steps of faith. Even though you don't see it, take the step of faith and believe it. Churches have grown around the world because they took the steps of faith. They weren't worried about their pews. They weren't worried about the colors of the walls. They weren't worried about I'm sitting in this chair every single week. They're not worried about that. They were taking steps of faith. And that's why churches have grown. And it's time for us to do the same. I want this church to grow spiritually and numerically. I want people to come here and worship the Lord in freedom, in spirit, and in truth. I'm not here to bring traditions. I'm not here to say, let's do this way. No, I'm going to go through the scriptures and I'm going to be obedient to the voice of God. I'm going to be obedient to the word of God and act upon what he tells us every day when he speaks to us as a church. But as long as we never move the Word of God. And I will repeat that. The Word must be there at all times. Watch this. When God calls us to move forward, I pray that we move in boldness, my church. I pray that we move in boldness, New Hope, and in faith in the Lord. And look at this that I want to bring out to you in verse 20. When Peter had this vision, look at this. So get up and go downstairs. Look at this. Do not hesitate. Do not hesitate. Do not start doubting. Do not hesitating to go with them, for I have sent them. But look at verse 19. Look, just look at the verse 19. Who has sent them? While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him. And when the Spirit speaks to us, when God speaks to us, He says, do not hesitate. Because when He speaks to us, it is in control. Because He's the one who is in control. I am not in control. You're not in control. But God is in control. And when the Spirit speaks to us, everything is in control. Wow. Do not hesitate, church. Don't worry when God tells us, take this step because I am with you. Take this other step, I am with you. Bring this church to another level because I am with you. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, help us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Do not hesitate, for I have a plan for you and for the church. And when I have a plan for you, I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will guide and He will direct. And He will help us go through those pains. Peter was a man of faith. And he stepped out of the boat. You know that story. He stepped out of the boat. He was a man of faith. If Peter never took those steps to go see Cornelius, maybe the church would not be how it became today. But he had to remove those traditions. He had to be assured that the Spirit was talking to him. And if a man and a woman stood by the traditions, maybe you and I would not be here today. However, they had to take the step of faith. And let's look at another biblical illustration in John chapter 4. We see that the Samaritan woman at the Jacob's well. She went there about midnight. You know that she was not to associate with the Jews. She was an outcast of society. But watch this. Jesus did not care about Jewish or not Jewish or Gentiles or not Gentiles. He went to see her. He went to... just to see her, but watch this. It's so amazing to see this. And Jesus sits with her. And you know the story. You have five wives, you know, five husbands and so forth and all that. And He explains everything to her. But if Jesus did His own way and walked His own way and never focused on the other side, she would never experience salvation. At times we walk and we walk straight, and we don't look at the left or the right. We just look at our own business in life, and we're just there and say, I'm worried for my things. I have my families to worry. I have my bills to worry. I have this to worry. Yes, you do. I have all this. We see that poor man over there, and we just walk across the other side of the street, and we don't even do anything because we're just following the same thing that we're doing every day. But my friend, it is time for you and I to take that step out of faith and start believing in God. And start believing in God. And you and I will see the transformations. You and I will see healings. You and I will see lives transformed because it is God's that directing. It's not us. But when the Spirit of God is with us, all things are possible. You know, years ago, I was going and I used to pray this on a weekly basis. It says, Lord, send me the worst of the worst to me. Because I want to preach the gospel to that person. And one day I'm going to church service on a Friday night. And all of a sudden, I'm at a red light, and someone knocks on the window of my car, and he had tattoos filled in his face with ear piercings all over his face and his body all over. It's like I even jumped out of my chair, and I moved, and I got scared of that person. And I pushed on the gas when it turned green, and I took off, and God spoke to me and says, I gave you the one you asked for. I said, Lord. And I turned back, and I went back to see him. And I got out of the car, and I sat down with him. He was even afraid because he was even not even expecting someone will stop and listen to him. And I went to him, and I started talking to him about Jesus. And he comes to me, and he's starting to get closer to me. And he says, come with me, I'll show you where I sleep. And he brought me in a place of like a bridge and sleeping. He had a bed and some things there, and that's where he was sleeping. And I said to him, come with me. And we went to the restaurant. I fed him. We ate together. I prayed for him. He says, wait for a moment. You want to come to the service with me? He says, no. This is before the service. I even went late. But it's for a good cause. It wasn't because I was waiting for the NFL game to end. No. God had sent someone. And I went and I said, you want to come? He said, no. And I went to the church and I came back and I sat down with him again and spoke to him about Jesus. We need to get out of times in our comfort zone. If you don't come to church on a Sunday morning because you're going to minister to someone, be a blessing. And I will say, go. But if you miss church on a Sunday morning because you have to watch a soccer game, ooh. Because you know I like soccer, but I'll put it up on the screen. No, it's not true. We, church, we believe in vision. This church believes on the move. And we must be a church that is in mind to look ahead and at the future. Not just for today, but what's to come. I believe if you and I take steps of faith, this church will explode. Brothers and sisters in Philippians says, I do not consider myself yet have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I'm looking ahead. I'm looking at the future. I'm looking at tomorrow. And I'm going to see, and I will see, if we're doing the will of God and we're going to be obedient to the voice of God and depend on the Holy Spirit, you and I will see a revival. Go back to Acts for a moment, 10. The Spirit told them to go. Do not hesitate. And the Spirit of God is going to tell us, go. Do not hesitate. With man, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Even though this vision was from God, look at this. Oh, this is so powerful. Because if you continue reading, watch this. Even though this vision was from God, Peter had faced opposition. He had faced opposition. Not everyone believed. And why do I say that? You will also find that in a church, and it's in every church. Not everyone will believe in the vision that the church has. Peter had a vision and went against his tradition and his customs. You will find a vision in the church. You will have a vision from God in the church. And you and I will find the oppositions. You will find the one in the church or the two in the church that says, no, we can't do it this way. But be patient, my brother and sister, when you hear someone say that. Because the Lord has different plans. Because I'm going to look through the scriptures and I'm going to prove through the scriptures what just happened here. Peter had this vision and the Spirit of God told him to go to Cornelius. And the people say, why are you with why are you with Cornelius? You're not supposed to associate with him. And at times we're the same. Why are we doing it this way? No, why are we going to do it this way? Why are we going to do it this way? We've done it this in the past. Why do I have to change it? You're going to find the one. In every church, you're going to have one. You're going to have one, but not here. Not here. Outside of Edmonton, you find this. You don't find it in Edmonton. Peter overcame his opposition. You know how? Chapter 11 of Acts, verse 1 to 3. Watch this. It's so amazing. It's mind-boggling the way how God works. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. How many times do you and I heard in another church they criticize because that's what the church is going? When they're leading to present something or a vision, and then you hear people say, oh, why is it this way? And you start hearing criticism. You ever hear that? And you have the same here. Why? They're criticized. The scriptures criticized him. They condemned him. They put him down. What are you doing? Why are you going there for? Wasting your time to go there. You're wasting energy and your breath. No, it won't work this way. But when it is by the Spirit of God, when God speaks, when God directs, he knows. The only thing that you and I must do is to act in obedience and depend on the Holy Spirit. And when we depend on the Holy Spirit, watch this. Now Peter starts to preach to them. He starts to explain them the story. What has happened? Look at this. It is mind-boggling. It is beautiful to see how God speaks. And he speaks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Cornelius experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Because he went away from his tradition, his customs, and to preach Jesus, he experienced the baptism of the Spirit upon his life. Wow. I don't know, but I get excited when I hear that. We want to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we sit. Okay, Lord, baptize me. It's not the way it's going to work. I've got to seek it. I guarantee you, if I tell you there's $10 million under this carpet will be ripped apart this morning. You're going to go and try to find that $10 million, huh? If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you got to go find it. You got to seek it. You got to be hungry for it. And you got to depend and wait and wait and wait and wait until the Lord baptizes you. Oh, Lord, let it be done again as the old times, Lord. Oh, Lord, let the old times when those preachers used to preach, those shoes used to fly off and plants used to fly because they didn't look at anything. They were just depending on God. They were depending on the Spirit of God. And they're waiting at the altar day after day, week after week, depending on God. And then God worked in the lives of the people. If these men, if these women had not taken the step of faith and boldness, we would not be here today. They depended on God. They depended on the Spirit of God. They searched God with all their hearts, with all their strengths, and they were there day after day, week after week, and they sacrificed. They did things out of the ordinary to allow us to be here in the presence of God. Wow. The church. The church. And if you look at this, when he explains to them, they became silent, they glorified God, and God's grace has granted them repentance. And the way God's grace has given us repentance and helped us. Now, lastly, I want to share something that is extremely important if we continue reading after that. Let's be the encouragers, not the discouragers. If someone did a good job, encourage them. If the person did a wishy-washy, encourage them. Because at least they're doing it. Not everybody is a professional. We're not here to compete with anybody. But let's be the encourager. Why do I say that? In Acts 11, verse 22, 23, we see, now the news reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And if we know the significance and the meaning of Barnabas, the son of encourager, New Hope, we are going to be a church of encouraging one another. We're called sons of Barnabas. We're going to encourage. We're going to uplift. We're going to work with peace. We're going to work together. Together for one purpose, to bring glory to God. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord. I can't wait for that day. And God is already working today. And God has worked in the past. And God is going to work today. And God is going to work in the future. And I can't wait. And if you're not going to be here, it's your loss. Because God is going to make this church explode into another level, into a higher level. And you and I will be excited to be in the presence of God. To be excited. And even though in the past was there, and it was there, and it was there, the Spirit of God was there. But the Spirit of God will be in the present and also in the future. And we're going to see this place explode to another level. And the definition, as Barnabas we knew, was a son of encourager. He's lovable. He loved the unlovable. You and I are going to love the unlovable. The most forgotten of society, we are going to love. We are going to spend time with them. We are going to pray with them. We are going to do anything in our will and our power to help this individual and to pick them up again and to allow them to experience the presence of God. Also, Barnabas was a man, a generous man. And we're going to be a church, generous church. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. New Hope, this is a Barnabas church. Some might have been hurt in the past. Some may have grudges about the past. We are going to work on those things. New Hope is a church who loves people. Who loves people, and we thank God for that. New Hope is a church who loves people, who will get out of the comfort zone. New Hope will go out and show kindness and show love and show towards this community that New Hope is a New Hope Christian Assembly, a new church. Not because the past wasn't good. Don't get me wrong here. I'm actually honoring the past. The men and women who've done this, steps of boldness and faith. They've done their chapter. But it's our new chapter. And the new chapter is this church will go to another level. A little bit higher. Getting excited more higher and higher and higher for God and higher for the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, I can't wait for that day. And I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Answer yourself this question I asked even last week. What is the DNA of this church? When you go out and speak to someone about New Hope Christian Assembly, what is the first thing that comes in mind? Oh, is that the church that has a wonderful praise and worship team? Oh, is that the church that I feel isolated? Or is that the church that has a white bald preacher? Or is that the church that's trying to grow? What is the DNA of the church? You got to know what is that DNA first. And wherever that DNA of the church is, we're going to go for it. If it is music, let it be. And people will be drawn to music. And through the music, there's also the preaching. And people can be touched. Not can be, will be touched. If you have some time, I do encourage you to go on the website and look at the mission of the church. Do you know the mission of the church? New Hope Christian Assembly. This is who we're supposed to be. If it's written there, this is who we are. We, the people of New Hope, will seek to demonstrate God's love in a meaningful and a practical ways in the local church and in the community. That's who we are. So, New Hope Christian Assembly, I say this with love. If God will place a vision, if God will direct me in one situation, in one area, that is not going to be according, that is not going to be going against the Word of God, but just following the Scriptures, try not to bring opposition. But try to just trust. Trust in God. Trust in the Spirit. Trust in Him. Because when we trust in the only one, when we depend on the Spirit of God, that's when things are going to start rolling. And if you are going to, maybe one of you are going to go against the vision, maybe they will. But I will pray that you will have, and I'll just motivate you through the Scriptures, through God's voice, through the Spirit of God, that will just touch your life and say, yeah, let's take this step of faith. And once we work in unity, with one accord, with one voice, with one vision, this church will be into another level. And I showed you through Scriptures this morning. Peter put away his traditions, and you see the results. Jesus went to the Samaritan woman, and I didn't even continue telling you after that, because John 4, after explains about, and many other Samaritans, many other accepted Jesus Christ. Not only her, many others. So it became like a fire, and it spread it. When someone will experience, see, I'm not too keen about Amway. You know Amway? Amway, that's why I'm not too keen about it. Amway. When they purchase this thing, no, when they get this business, they try to make someone else follow this and follow this and follow. It's a chain. But we as Christians, when we experience the love of Christ, we must want to make someone else experience the love of Christ and experience the power of God and experience the presence of God. So we must do everything in our strength to go out and knock on doors and do things that you've never done before to allow someone to be in the presence of God with you and I on a Sunday morning and worshiping the Lord God Almighty. Isn't that a beautiful thing to see? Isn't that a beautiful thing to see, church? So that is my prayer for this second study on God's vision for this church. And next week we're going to look at God, my plan for the church. Oh, that's where the Lord has to help me. Where we want to go. I'm not going to be complicated because I'm going to go through the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to direct us. What's our plan? Amen? We all stand this morning. I'll pray and I'll conclude the service. And for Brother Alaric will come up and we'll just conclude this service with the, I like that song that we sang this morning, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And we're going to leave exciting because the Lord has made a brand new day. Amen? So as I'm just going to conclude in a prayer, Brother Elric will lead us into that, and we'll just get excited in the presence of God. Father, we thank you for the series on the church and how you've been sensitive to, how you've spoken to us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Father, for allowing us to be in a place of worship. But Lord, as we have heard this morning, O God, to just put aside traditions for a moment and just depend more on you. Lord, we need change in our lives spiritually and as a church. And we know, Lord, that you will bring this church to another level, because New Hope Christian Assembly together believe and are depending on you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for everyone that have come out this morning, O Lord. That come out here and just to receive from your word and to be blessed, and by hearing and also by singing songs. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, God, that everyone in this place, O Lord, that when we leave this place, we'll also be sensitive to your voice, to get out of that comfort zone and do things that they have not done in the past. But give us challenges, O God, to allow someone else to experience Jesus. Father, help us to stay focused on you and our hearts towards you, Lord. Father, we will not remove your word. We will not remove your word. We will always preach your word, God, as a church. We will always preach you, Jesus. We're going to preach you, Lord, not man. And we're going to depend on you. Father, I pray for every one of us here. Bless us. Provide for us as you've done and you continue doing. Be with us as we go home, O Lord. And as we go around our tables, let us encourage one another with scriptures, with songs, with hymns. In your precious name we ask these things. In all God's people say, amen. Let us conclude with this. This is the day. May the Lord bless you after that. Have a great day.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will.
That the Lord has made.
May the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit be with you in this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you.